Good to see you. Today we're going to talk about something that is more exciting to me than things that have happened in a long time, and that's Microsoft Cognitive Services. I'm Tim. You know, I hate this title because we're not going to talk about machine learning. We're not going to talk about learning machine learning. We're not going to dig into cognitive science. You want to know why? I didn't study that in school. I'm not an expert, but I seem like an expert because I can call these 22 RESTful services and use machine learning and use cognitive science and use artificial intelligence. And right now it's all free too. So our mission today is for me to just walk you through what this thing is. It was announced just less than 2 weeks ago, right? I'm gonna walk you through it is. I'm gonna show you the SDK. And if I do this correctly, I have to speak slower, don't I? I'm going to get you over the hump, so to speak, so that you can go home or go to your work and do this yourselves. Fair enough? We're going to look at a little bit of code. I know you want to. You're developers, right? You want to look at code. But really, to dig into this, you're going to debug this at home. Okay? All right. So let's go. The funny thing about this is that, my Spanish is terrible. And we've been planning this event. Believe it or not, Microsoft plans these things months in advance. But last week, from an airplane, stay with me, 35,000 feet in the air, I purchased internet access. It was expensive. You know, like $4 an hour or something like that, which I'm kind of cheap, so that's expensive. And I called Jorge on Skype. Jorge, the guy that is running this conference, right? This is last week, and I had a bunch of questions about the conference. And I was speaking in English, 35,000 feet in the air, and it was translating me in Spanish to Jorge. He was speaking back to me in Spanish, and it was translating me in English in real time. Is that not awesome? And is that's free. That's already in Skype. Did you know that? There's a little world icon. See, I'm already derailing the presentation. Jorge. He's not on right now, but when he's online, a little world icon appears here, and I just tell Skype that his native language is Spanish. So no matter what I type or what I say, it gets translated, all right? Okay, that is awesome, and that's why we are talking today. All right, so these are newly announced. This next wave of experiences are more natural, they're more personal, and they're more human-like. There are 22 intelligence and knowledge APIs that empower you developers and businesses for decades to come, these services. Microsoft, I've told a number of you that Microsoft is invested a lot in this. Some of the most brilliant minds in the world are working on this. This is an enormous team, and this is just going to get better and better and better. They let you hear and speak back with people in a natural way. They understand your natural language. Idioms, colloquialisms, does that translate? Right, the things that you natively say in Spanish that translated to English wouldn't make sense. Like, ahí te va, right, that doesn't make sense. Do you say that, don't you? My Spanish is Mexican, it's not Peruvian. In Mexico, they say that all the time, ahí te va, which means whatever, there you go, type of thing, right? And lastly, they provide instant answers from the web in an intelligent way, right? You can ask the web questions. Why did Prince die, right? Which normally a web search wouldn't. You heard that Prince died today? Did you hear that? Yeah, terrible loss for music. But, Bing Translator understands these things in a natural way. So the combination of teams from Microsoft Research, which still Microsoft invests 10 times as much as any company in the world in R&D, and Azure Machine Learning and Big and cognitive science, this team goes fast. Look what they've done in less than a year, starting or ending in their announcements 2 weeks ago, that they've done an amazing, this is unlike any project in Microsoft history. They're going so fast, which means the next 12 months are going to be really interesting. Many of the world's most brilliant experts are on these teams, and they have been empowered to produce. So why do this? Why would we use cognitive services? What's a use case for machine learning? You know, I was gonna do something different here, like a demo, but there, if you have not seen this video, it will bring tears to your eyes. It is so awesome. Has anyone seen this video from last week? Am I right? This is amazing stuff, and I'll never, so let me just let Saqib talk, and you guys watch. Whoops, God darn it. Okay, can I just play video? Stupid. Hang on. I am having a bad demo day. Okay. I think if I do that. This is going to work now. Watch this. You're going to love it. Yay.
I lost my sight when I was 7, and shortly after that I went to a school for the blind, and that's where I was introduced to talking computers, and that really opened up a whole new world of opportunities. I joined Microsoft 10 years ago as a software engineer. I love making things which improve people's lives, and one of the things I've always dreamt of since I was at university was this idea of something that could tell you at any moment what's going on around you.
I think it's a man jumping in the air doing a trick on a skateboard.
I teamed up with like-minded engineers to make an app which lets you know who and what is around you. It's based on top of the Microsoft Intelligence APIs, which makes it so much easier to make this kind of thing. The app runs on smartphones, but also on the Pivot Head smart glasses. When you're talking to a bigger group, sometimes you can talk and talk and there's no response and you think, is everyone listening really well? Or are they half asleep? And you never know.
I see two faces, 40-year-old man with a beard looking surprised, 20-year-old woman looking happy.
The app can describe the general age and gender of the people around me and what their emotions are, which is incredible. One of the things that's most useful about the app is the ability to read out text.
Hello, good afternoon. Here's your menu.
Great, thank you. I can use the app on my phone to take a picture of the menu, and it's going to guide me on how to take that correct photo.
Move camera to the bottom right and away from the document.
And then it'll recognize the text. Read me the headings.
I see appetizers, salads, paninis, pizzas, pastas.
Years ago, this was science fiction. I never thought it would be something that you could actually do. But artificial intelligence is improving at an ever faster rate. And I'm really excited to see where we can take this. As engineers, we're always standing on the shoulders of giants, building on top of what went before. And in this case, we've taken years of research from Microsoft Research to pull this off.
I think it's a young girl throwing an orange frisbee in the park.
For me, it's about taking that far-off dream and building it one step at a time. I think this is just the beginning.
Is that not awesome or what? Man, I cannot get enough of that. What's even better, and your homework assignment, all the sessions that build that we did 2 weeks ago are online, and you can watch them. And Saqib did a session on how we built that at Microsoft Build. And I'm going to show you parts of these parts of the Cognitive Services API that encompasses the solution. Notice the gesture. He was hitting the glasses. You see how he's doing that? So that's the signal to tell the system, hey, I'm looking at something, but I don't know what it is. Right? Just awesome stuff. Okay, let's keep going. So let me highlight that the seriousness of Microsoft Cognitive Services is not as serious as the name implies. Microsoft has released several fun apps to showcase some of the things we can do with cognitive services. Starting with CaptionBot, it's an intelligent service, and it'll attempt to caption a picture intelligently through its eyes. It'll attempt to understand the people in the picture and the things that are in the picture and who is in the picture. And obviously, when Saqib heard the skateboard and he went like this, you know, this particular technology said, I think that's a man on a skateboard, right? That's what we're talking about here. Celebs like me show you the closest celebrity match based on facial characteristics. I ran it on me. You can go to any of these sites right now. Well, please don't, because the hotel's internet is at its knees. But you could go to these sites, and I did me, and no celebrities look like me, unfortunately. I'm not good looking enough, I guess. I was hoping for Robert Redford or Brad Pitt, but nobody came back. But you could go and do this. Project Murphy is an intelligent app that augments the human imagination in what-if scenarios. You know, I could say, what if I played James Bond, and I would translate to Tim Huckabee, and Tim, they'd put my face in like Roger Moore's stance. You know, fun little things like that. There are full application catalog of cognitive services, and me giving you the awareness to them and how easy it is to implement these, mostly in a rest-based way, is show them in your application. That is my mission today. Okay? So let me show you one. So, like, I wasn't planning on doing this, and then we're ultimately going to run out of time, but how about, here's CaptionBot. Come on, internet. Yay. Here's CaptionBot. So I'm going to upload a photo, and let's not use that. Let's use this. The other part of my life is I'm a fly fisherman. Sabes fly fishing? So there's me, right? Analyzing. And it should say, I'm really not sure, but I think that's a man in a hat holding a fish, and he seems happy. I was freaking happy. This is in La Paz, Mexico, over the weekend. My brother-in-law lives in La Paz, and I went to visit him. Yeah, so that's a funny type of way of seeing things. Here we go. How? The question is what? No. The question is, and you know what, Sese? If you keep asking me questions, I'm not going to get to the good demos at the end. Okay. It's my friend. I can say that to him. No, I don't mind if you're interactive. Okay, so let's see. I want to use that, and let's go back. Where was that? That first picture would have been perfect. Internology, bios, TimPicks. We need a picture of when I was old. These are all pictures of when I was young. Okay, well, here's a picture of me when I was young. God, that's insulting, because I was like 35 back then. I didn't plan to do that picture. Darn it. Remember I told you about that woman in Brussels, and I pulled her on stage, and it said she was 55 years old. Oh, goodness. Okay, so tiny little fun things that Microsoft keeps implementing. And you may not think this is important, but if you think about Microsoft 5 years ago, you know, people would have been fired if they would do these fun things. It's a totally different Microsoft now. Okay, let's keep going. So all the APIs are RESTful. I can't stress that enough. What does that mean to you, the developer? Well, it ultimately means that they're cross-platform. They work across any language, any framework, your platform of choice, and you can integrate them with the tools you're familiar with. So if you're a Linux person, no problem. If you're a iOS person, no problem. These are all RESTful services. The key takeaway for you that is that all these services are tested at the field and in scale. And right now, they're free. Microsoft is a public company. They have to make some money at some point. So once you get addicted to these services, they're going to turn on the spigot, and they're going to cost money. I think we can all can assume that. Right? But right now, if you want to send 20 million pictures to their API, well, I'm sure they have some limits, but if you want to send a ton of pictures to their API, you can do it. These services are, or they represent a collection of the state-of-the-art artificial intelligence, and they're developed by experts in MSR, Bing and Azure. These services are widely used already in many production products already, not just in Microsoft stuff, but they're now available, or they're now being in production by other companies around the world, and they're available to you now, or as of 2 weeks ago. These services were developed by experts, but like I started with, these are not made for experts, or I should say it like this. These services were developed by experts, but they're not reserved for experts. They're for common developers just like me and you, right? And the API calls are simple and easy. You don't need a background in machine learning or cognitive sciences or artificial intelligence to use these things. So here they are. Here's a view of the cognitive services with all the service names and all the APIs listed. Some of these you may recognize because they were called Project Oxford last year. They launched last year in the Bing API, which has been around for a while, honestly. This is not a simple rebranding of existing services. Since last year, there are a significant amount of new updates to these services and new services. There's three families of services that have been, or three families of teams that have been brought together at Microsoft. Cognitive Services, Project Oxford, plus its new services, and then the Bing APIs and Microsoft Translator, which is what I was talking to Jorge with in Spanish in real time. There's no way I can cover all of these in just 45 minutes, so I'm going to do my best to cover just my favorites and the one Saqib, who is blind, used in his application, the seeing blind application. Of course, you can learn more and sign up for these services at the free services online at the URL listed at top, which is microsoft.com/cognitive. And if you're into this stuff, I'm giving you the broad overview, but Ricardo from Colombia, my good friend Ricardo, is doing a session tomorrow on just the Vision API, just one of these 22. And he's going to dig a lot deeper into it. So I strongly suggest you go to that one. So I'm one of those people that either watch a Microsoft person on, you know, on Channel 9, or I go to a conference and I watch somebody and they do something really cool on the screen, right? And then I go home and I try and do it and I completely flail and fail and give up, right? I assume a lot of you are like that also. So I firmly believe we should go into intricate details on how to get started, because sometimes it's not so obvious. And in this case, it's not so obvious. So you go to the website. You subscribe. I told you it's free. Well, you know what my dad used to say? Timothy, nothing in life is free. Right? So you do have to give. That was a pretty good impression of my dad, actually. You do have to have a Microsoft account to do this, which is also free. But I assume, you know, you're giving them your email address and things like that. So nothing truly in life is for free. once you sign up, you pick all the services that you want to subscribe to. So you get your Microsoft account, like timhuckabee@hotmail.com, right? Log in, sign up, you do the disclaimer thing, and then it comes up with this page, and it says, okay, which one of these Cognizant services do you want for free? Well, we're developers, right? We pick all of them, always. Yeah, it's what we do. So you pick all of them, and then you get this thing. Now, this is what's not obvious to me. It, for some reason, and I still don't understand the technical reason, I think it's for abuse, you know, abusing their API, you get a GUID-like key for every service. Look closely at the top. The Bing auto-suggest preview beta. I can do 10,000 transactions per month, 10 per second, and that GUID-like thing is the key I put in my code. So when you do these REST calls, if you just want to hack it and do it manually, you're sending that key along in the API call. Okay, does that make sense? And I wish I could understand for a technical reason why they do this. This is all Azure. It's all cloud-based SaaS licensing ultimately. So really, this is going to be pennies once they start charging for this stuff. All right, now that you have keys, you can get started right away with the online API documentation. How many times has Microsoft, this is, I can be, you know, I'm old, so I can be critical of Microsoft where they're terrible and praise them where they're great. But here's one of the places they haven't been so good over the last 20 years. How many times have they released a technology without an SDK or proper documentation? Hundreds of times, right? This is one of those places where they've done really good. The API is right online, completely documented, plus an SDK with sample apps. So right from the Microsoft.com/cognitive site, it says it has a developers tab. I don't think I need to show it to you, right? I don't need to go to a browser, but it has a developers tab, and it says download the SDK. And it'll take you to GitHub. By the way, you can have my slides. Just send me an email, and then I can give you the keynote deck and this deck, so you don't have to take pictures of this stuff. And I promise you, I'm not going to put you on a list. I don't even know how to do that, right? But I don't have my I'm being recorded live or streamed live, so I can't say that word, mierda. I don't have my mierda together. They're translating that in English, aren't they? Darn it. I don't have my act together. Otherwise, I'd give you a link and you can download this stuff. But if you send me an email, I'll point you to a place where you can download this, okay? I understand that a lot of you, you know, the world, for these young developers, their world is Git and you know, open source and things like that. But not all of us are like that. So some of us go to this site and say, oh my God, there's the source code, but how in the world do I pull it all down so I could do it myself? And I'm all about, the other part of my world is user interaction design, meaning how humans deal with user interfaces. And to me, it's not immediately obvious how I get the source code. It's obvious to young people because you've done this a bunch of times, but you could just download this stuff with download right there. Get it in a zip file. Now, do we have any Git people in here, Git experts? Other than Phil Hack, who is here, what's the problem with downloading the source from Git? I'll give you a hint. It goes back to the weaknesses of Windows and the strengths of Linux. Do you know? The line length, is that what you said? That's exactly it, if that's what you said. The paths in Unix and Linux are enormously long. We have this weird weakness in Windows that has been a documented bug since I was working on a Windows team in the late 90s. What's the file length limitation in Windows? Like 250 something. So what's my point? If you download this zip file and unzip it in like users, Tim, my documents, Visual Studio projects, the fully qualified file names will be too much for Windows to handle. And then you go into Visual Studio and it gives you all these hideous errors and you don't know what's going on. You're looking at me like I'm insane. This is one of the, you know, the biggest whining things on the internet, like fix Windows. So what do you do? Well, look where I put it. I unzipped it in a folder called P. P for projects. Right off the root. That's the only way I can get this source code to compile in Windows. Seriously. Isn't that stupid? Don't you think we should fix that? I'll put in a request. All right. Next thing you do, once you get your source code, you go into Visual Studio, right? And you've got to update. It's an open source world. Nothing's static. So while you were unzipping it, some genius 12-year-old was, you know, uploading some fix that they figured out. So then you go into Visual Studio, and remind me to show you how to do this, but you update your NuGet packages basically by right-clicking on the references, manage NuGet packages, and it pulls down all the updates automatically. With me? Then you're styling, then you can run these applications. So let's first take a look at the Computer Vision API. This is the one that Saqib used to identify the skateboard and the girl with the orange frisbee. You know, it's the Computer Vision API is based in machine learning, which means when I built these demos last week, or when I was running these demos last week, it's already got smarter. It already has more things it can see, like whatever the heck that thing is. That robot thing, or chairs, or whatever, right? And it describes this basically in JSON. So when you run it, it's saying right there, that's a brown cow standing on the top of a lush green field. Now, is this stuff perfect? No. You're not going to want to, you know, base transactions upon this. It's not perfect. It's getting better and better and better, but it is useful, right? So. Hopefully we can finally get to Visual Studio, yeah. So let's take a little bit of a look at the Computer Vision API. I should probably turn off Skype, shouldn't I? No one's working at home. Let's close that. Here's what I was telling you about. This is the Microsoft Cognitive site. There's all the APIs documented. Right, here's my keys type of thing. All right, but we want to go and let's do the Vision API. Now, I think I've told you enough that I'm old, right? Ultimately, you know, when I started programming professionally at, you know, from Microsoft in the mid 90s, I was a Win32 programmer. I'm comfortable in Windows. It's also, so if you don't mind, I'm going to demo in WPF. Right, it's still REST-based calls. You could do this in web pages if you want, but it's best to demo, easiest to see, in running something on the metal. Right, you don't have that abstraction layer of the web. If that's cool, okay. So I haven't changed anything on purpose for this session. All the hacking I did on these applications, I'm not going to do any of that today. This is unzipped on my drive, and this is the Computer Vision API. So let me run it first, and then. Because they've given me so little time, jeez, I have to go faster. I'll just show you the key points in this stuff, okay? So this is the source code that comes down from the SDK that you can play with at home. Notice I pasted in my key straight from the Microsoft Cognitive Services website. So let's do one of these things. So how about we just describe an image? How about that fishing one? Yeah, perfect. There we go. So let's see what it does with this. Now, if you take someone who is good in photography, explain to me why if you take a picture on an iPhone, it appears upside down in Windows. Anyone? It does. This is going to work perfectly, but for some reason, it pulls these down. Oh, God bless it. I lost internet connectivity. Boy, my demos are, if this doesn't work, this is going to be a really bad day for me. I may get cranky and start drinking Pisco at 3 o'clock today. No, I wouldn't do that. So I always say there ain't no cloud without internet access, right? And hotel internet, oh, goodness. All right, hang on. Let me do something a little bit easier. So I was hoping that it would say, that's a man looking really happy, and it looks like he has a fish, and he's on a boat in the ocean. I was hoping it would say that, trust me. Let me try something a little bit easier. Also in the Vision API is simple OCR. This is a lot less lightweight. God, this is taking forever. Yikes. I don't feel good about this. Da, 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 da. Isn't this awesome technology? Isn't this great? If this were working, which it's not, it would have said, it would have pulled the words off that picture and played them back. Wait a minute, I did this in CaptionBot, right? What is going on? Is it because there's a Panamanian in the back? Yeah. Huh. All right. Hang on. Let me just show you the interesting parts of the code. No. Thank you anyways. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you can see in main window, you guys can all see that, right? Is that too small, too big? Good? You can see that? Okay, you can see in main window.xaml, it's calling this user control, and in the user control, it's ultimately calling this piece of XAML, which is, let me see if I can get you a view on it. There it is right there. That's where you analyze the image. Now here, this is what I want to show you, the code. The code behind it, let me find it. Oh, obviously, we got to do this in an async way because you don't want to hold the thread waiting around for the internet to work, right? So here we go right here. This is it right here. Here's the call. That's it. It's basically four lines of code. That's it to doing this analysis. And then, of course, you've got all the infrastructure of populating your controls and things like that and making all the tags come back and using that data in an intelligent way. But since we're just calling an API with an image, we suck down the image, it parses, it does all that magic in the cloud, comes back, done. So I tell you what, I'm going to cross my fingers that we get internet control or internet access back, and I'm just going to keep moving, okay? Because I want to get to the end of this. All right, fair enough? Okay. Let me talk a little bit about the translator API. That, the existing translator API, is the one that's been around forever. It's commonly accepted by experts as the best translator out there, and you know that other company from the Silicon Valley has their own translation services. You've seen this across social media, on the web, when you run into something, maybe you're, you know, for me, it's if I see Spanish, right, and it says translate in the right in the web page. That's this technology. It's a highly customizable translation model. It's called the Translator Hub. It gives you the ability, like if you're working on a field that has highly technical content, like software or medical, it allows you to train your translation model with the words that are specific to the domain that you're working in. And in software, we have all these strange words that, you know, Grandma Huckabee doesn't know what they mean, right? But you can train that. The second thing is the ability to work with humans to improve the translation model that has been created. So you get much better results out of the translation. But what's new as of last week is real-time conversational speech support, which is what I started with, how I talk to Jorge in Spanish on an airplane, when I Skype with Jorge, and We have three native Spanish-speaking engineers in my company in California, and that's now how I talk to them in Skype. I type in English, it translates to Spanish. They type in Spanish, it translates back to English, back to me. This translation engine behind Skype Translator, it's available to you through the API, and this technology is really 200 years before its time, right? This is the Universal Translator from Star Trek. It's just there's a little bit of a delay. In Star Trek, you know, it was just immediate. There is a little bit of delay, completely dependent on your internet connection. I was going to do a translator. Now I've decided I'm not going to stare at translator code from the SDK because I'm afraid of the internet. So let me play a video that's a lot better than me demoing anyways. And this one is equally awesome as the blind one. This is called ProDef. Whoops, I have it embedded in my PowerPoint deck. There we go. Here.
It's my...
Jesus. There. There.
It's my pleasure to be here with you. My name is Flavio. I'm co-founder from ProDef. And we have this solution. Our mission, actually, is breaking the communication barrier between deaf and hearing people. So, hello, how are you today?
Real-time sign language conversion. No, it gets better. It gets better.
Now, let's imagine that you want to communicate with a deaf person while traveling in another country. For instance, I'm from Brazil, I speak Portuguese, and I want to communicate in American Sign Language. Let's see what we can help with this tool. Nossa missão é mudar a vida das pessoas.
So,
that's it. Portuguese to American Sign Language. And how it works? It's very simple. The Microsoft Translator API sends the translated text.
So let me stop that here since we're so short on time. Do you understand what happened? He said in Portuguese, we are going to change the world or something like that with our technology. He said something like that in Portuguese. Translator services changed that to English, which translated it to American Sign Language. Now, I didn't know this, but there are like four major types of sign language. Did you know this? I had no idea. So he could have done Portuguese to English to Chinese Sign Language or whatever it is. They really could do everything. I mean, that is the power of these type of services. I think you'll agree that is a perfect and awesome way to use this technology. Now, I casually mentioned in the keynote this morning, in my other failed demo, that we do a lot of facial recognition. And we're typically looking for the bad guy, right? Well, this team, one might speculate in the emotion API that, you know, I did the smiley thing, and really, I could pretend like I'm smiling but be miserable on the inside, but wouldn't it be great if we could sense stress or the propensity to steal or the propensity to do terrorist acts? Wouldn't that be an awesome API? Wouldn't that be a perfect implementation of technology like this? I predict that's where this world is going. You know, that this world, meaning this technology, is going. So, let's take a look at the emotion API, and everyone is crossing their fingers that we have internet access, right? So again, this is the source code that I pulled down from the SDK, right? Straight from the SDK, I haven't hacked on anything. I promised you I'd show you how to update the NuGet packages. That would be right there. If I right click on references, and it goes out, and it's, oh, look, I have an update. Anyone? Should I do it? No, I'm not going to do it. We don't want to play with fire. Okay. Did that translate, play with fire? Does that translate? Yeah. Yeah. We're already behind the curve. So here we go. Let me do this quickly because I'm totally running out of time. I want to detect emotion on an image. Let me pick an image. We already failed with that one, right? How about this old guy right here? There. Detecting. So notice the update right here. It's giving me a little, I can tell you right now, it's having trouble with internet access. You know what? I bet the hotel's internet is preventing sending high binary images up. That's got to be it, right? Did it work? No, it didn't work. Yeah, it didn't work. What are you talking about? That's like this morning. It's working. It wasn't working. Oh, darn it. So when I ran this morning and it comes back and it says, Tim is smug, or it says, this man looks like he's smug. He looks, you know, 20% happy. It does all these characteristics about this. Darn it. All right, let me go to my, because I only have 3 minutes before they kick me off the stage. Let me go to my favorite API, which is the Face API. Yeah, let's just go straight to the Face API. How quickly do you think you guys can get me internet access if I just talk? Let's just see. This is a great demo. I always end my sessions and keynotes on a great demo, and I just fear it's not going to work. I'm so sorry. This, the Face API, and if you think about what we're doing in security with the Kinect device, we have to get people moving, right? They're walking very quickly through a train station or a bus station or something like that. So first we have to identify what's a human, because you don't want to do facial recognition on a dog, right? Dogs aren't bad guys, typically, right? So first, once you identify what's a human, we have to figure out what the face does. That's what this API does. You get the human, it tells you what the face is. At the frame rate of the camera, then we fire pictures to the API. Everyone with me? Which means if someone exists in the database, it can then identify them, and people who aren't in the database just ignore them. And let me just see if it works. So first I'll do face detection. Please work. So how about I pick this picture? This is going too slowly to work. I'm so sorry, my demos. Yeah, if you come up here and give me internet access real quickly while I talk, otherwise you'll just be staring at me giving internet access. All right, you take over. So, I should tell a story. What should I tell you? So, did I tell you the Bill Gates story already? Yeah, I'd already did that. Do you remember Steve Sinofsky? Oh, this is a great story. Do you remember who Steve Sinofsky is? Oh, wait, no, I can't do that because I'm live. Hi, Scott. I'm dying on stage here. So the first time I met Scott Hanselman, he was like 22 years old. Come on up. I'm done. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm done. Come on up here. Yeah, just come up here. Am I on? Am I good? You're good? Okay. Internet access.
Don't blame the internet for your demo fail.
Okay, one last try, and then I'll get off the stage for Scott. There we go. I think you should. Sorry. All right, weren't those awesome demos? Happy, I'm going straight to the bar, and all the drinks are on me. So sorry.